Okay, good afternoon to everybody. We will switch a topic and talk about neutrino nucleus interactions and in particular future projects. So I will briefly mention you the motivation to study such reactions. I will then discuss the present status and mention some of the open questions in the field. In the third part of my talk, I will focus on future projects, and in particular, I will present you low-energy beta beams. A very nice feature of neutrino sources is that they span the neutrino energy span various orders of magnitude. This is well known here. We have the low-energy region of solar and reactor neutrinos and supernovae, and then we have neutrinos produced by accelerators, which go from the very low to the very high energy. And then we have the very energetic atmospheric neutrinos. And here I will talk about neutrino interactions on nuclei and focus on this low energy region. First, the motivation. Again, this is known here. The one important thing we want to know is the response of neutrino detectors. And very often, nuclei are used to detect such neutrinos, for example, in solar experiments, in supernova observatories, or in oscillation measurements. And I take the example of oscillation measurements, where we want to look for the appearance of electron neutrinos by detecting the interaction of the neutrinos on a nucleus, and in particular, the number of expected events in presence of oscillations depends on a few key quantities, one of which is the reaction cross-sections. So in order to interpret some of the neutrino experiments or to study the feasibility of new projects, we really need to know the reaction cross-sections. Another important motivation comes from astrophysics, and in particular from the understanding of the nucleosynthesis of heavy elements. I'll show you here the abundance of the elements as a function of the mass in the solar system, and in particular, the sites where these elements are produced in a process which we call the R process is not yet known. And one of the candidates are supernovae type 2. Now, supernovae type 2 are very massive stars whose life ends in a gigantic explosion, where 90% of the energy is emitted as neutrinos. So if the elements are synthesized during the explosion, they are synthesized in an intense flux of neutrinos. So to calculate the abundances, we need to know several nuclear properties, in particular half-lives for beta decays, neutron capture, and neutrino captures on nuclei. And what I want to insist here is that the nuclei which are involved in this process are very neutron-rich. We call them exotic. So in order to understand this issue, we really need to know neutrino nucleus interactions. So what is the status on our knowledge for these processes? As I said, neutrinos probe nuclei are a very wide energy range. We go from the low energy region, where mainly nuclear degrees of freedoms are involved. And in particular, I don't mention here the case of solar neutrinos, where there are discrete energy levels which are excited. This case is very well understood. But at high energy, when we have collective modes of the nuclei which are excited, so above here. And then at very high energy, in the GV region, there are the nucleon degrees of freedom which dominate. So as far as the models which are used are concerned, we have in the low energy region effective field theories, microscopic approaches like RPA or Schall model, and when we go higher and higher in energy, the nucleus behave more as a Fermi gas. So the important point is that in this region here, we have very few data, and so theoretical prediction are of absolute necessity. We need to do two things. We need to interpolate from this region to this region. This is the first thing we need to do. And the second is we need to extrapolate our knowledge from stable to exotic nuclei. What kind of constraints do we have? Oh, so some constraints come from other weak processes. In the MEV energy range, very low momentous transfer, we can use beta decay. In the about 100 MeV energy range, we can use muon capture and show you the example for the mass equal 12. We can use the half-lives for beta decay on this nucleus and the muon capture on this, and try to use this information to constrain our calculations, for example, for neutrino capture on nuclei. And also, for some states, we have model-independent sum rules, but only for some states. So the key issue here is that neutrinos really transfer a lot of energy to a nucleus. For example, muon neutrinos coming from the decaying flight of pions on carbon 12 produce nitrogen, which can be in a very many excited states. So one of the very important challenges is to perform very large scale calculations, which certainly have to include the right degrees of freedom. So I want to show you what happens when the neutrino energy increases. I take the example of electron neutrinos on lead for neutrinos of 15, 30, and 50 MeV. So when a neutrino impinges on lead for charge current, it produces bismuth. And here I show you the contribution to the total cross-section of all these states here. First point is that the zero plus here and the one plus, which dominate at very low energies, are very well known in nuclear physics. We have been studying them for a very long time, so they have been studied with also different probes, so not much question on that. But, for example, the zero minus, one minus, and two minus, we only have a few information on that, experimental information. And you see that these increases, the contribution to the cross-section increases already at 50 MeV, it's very important. And then we have a full bunch of states here, which I show with the red histograms, for which we do not have experimental information at all. So the important point I want to make here is the contribution to the total cross-section of these states becomes more and more important. You see that it is significant at 50 MeV. It becomes even worse at 100 MeV. And I want to make a remark. This is also true for muon neutrinos on a nucleus of an energy of 150 and 200 MeV. So one thing we could do, if we had the source of neutrino beams of variable energies, we could span various energies and use neutrinos as a probe for nuclear structure. And now I mention a few other questions. There are many. This is well known, the neutrino deuteron cross-section, which is of interest for snow. This is the best case we can calculate with effective field theories. It's simply just a two-body problem, so we can really treat it very precisely. And we reach a few percent uncertainties. However, a very precise knowledge of L1A would be extremely useful. For carbon, which is of interest for scintillators detectors, some of you have maybe followed the story. So we have been working on carbon for several years in order to understand the discrepancy between a theory and experiment of about a factor of four. The cross-sections with decaying at rest of muons is well understood now, but there are still the cross-sections associated to the decaying flight of pion neutrinos is not yet understood. Lead is also of interest for lead-based supernova neutrino observatories, and in particular, a precise measurement of the cross-sections as a function of the electron energies, the electrons produced in charge current events, would be extremely useful, since some predictions have shown that by using precisely measuring the energy of these electrons, we could pin down the initial temperatures of neutrinos at a supernova explosion, at emission. And finally, I want to mention that we could also tackle more fundamental issues like the strange quark contribution to the form factors. Now, this is the hot issue. Is there a possibility to perform systematic neutrino-nucleus interaction studies at low energies? Yes, in principle, we could follow two strategies. The first is to use conventional methods. And in fact, there was a proposal a few years ago at Oak Ridge for a facility producing low-energy neutrinos, Orland. Another strategy could be to use a very new concept for the production of beta beams, of neutrino beams, which is beta beam. So this concept, which has been introduced by Zucchelli 2 years ago, consists in boosting ions, which decay by beta decay at high energy to produce pure and well-collimated neutrino fluxes of well-known fluxes. So what is the idea? So why not having a low-energy beta beam facility? So the idea is to exploit this new concept to produce intense and pure low-energy neutrino beams. And there is a very rich physics program which could be performed. And today I want to mention here two possible axes. One is neutrino nucleus interaction studies, and the second concern more intrinsic neutrino properties like the neutrino magnetic moment. For the first, we would need really neutrino beams, and we would accelerate the ions to a lower gamma. For the second, we would need a different configuration. Namely, we would produce the ions, collect them, send them to a target inside the 4-pi detector, and perform measurements on these neutrinos by using the ions as a neutrino source. So this is the idea. And after proposing it, I've been discussing with people at different sites, different experts, and I want to show you possible sites for such a facility. One should keep in mind that there will be many laboratories in nuclear physics that will produce intense exotic ion beams, because this is one of the major axes of developments for nuclear structure studies in the near future, in the short term and the long term. So I show you the situation here for three laboratories, GANIL, GSI, and CERN, as typical examples of what can be done. By not just using what has already been planned at such facilities, or it is under study. So first, GANIL, we would have very high intensities, but the ions are not accelerated, and there is no storage ring planned, so we could only perform measurements with 4-pi detectors. Another configuration is given by sites like GSI in Germany, which would reach higher gammas, but, and there will be a storage ring, but according to the planned facility, the method to produce the ions is a fragmentation method, which gives much lower intensities. So if we want to have compatible or competitive intensities, we need to include what we call an ISIL target. And finally, there is CERN, where we will have very high intense neutrino beams. The gamma of the ions can be varied from the very low to the very high energies. There will be a storage ring, so we will be able to perform 4-pi measurements and measurements with a closed detector. So in this panorama, in the present panorama in the world, CERN is really a unique site both for the neutrino intensities and for the neutrino energies. So how can it work? I'll show you how this could fit at CERN if a high-energy beta beam facility is built. We have here the Eurisol project, where the ions are produced, collected, and accelerated at several hundred MeV, and then to the GV region by injection in the PS and the SPS. Then they are stored in a storage ring, which has very long straight sections. What for? So in the original project, this was really the original one, but there are other scenarios now. We would send them to the Fréjus underground laboratory, where we would put a gigantic Cherenkov detector to perform a rich and interdisciplinary program. So how would the low energy beta beam facility fit? But it could simply be part of it. And I want to show you what kind of reaction rates are expected if we put a closed detector to this storage ring. Here we are. So I show here rates we consider a gamma equal 14th neutrino flux. This is peaked at around 50 MeV and reaches 100 MeV. This is the number of events per year for three typical nuclei, deuteron, oxygen, and lead. Here you see the number of events for a small storage ring, 150-meter straight section for 450 total length, and for a large storage ring of 2.5 kilometers straight section and 7.5 kilometers total length. So you can see that very interesting interaction rates can be obtained. And now I want to discuss a different issue, namely the neutrino magnetic moment. So we will hear more about this in the talk of Wong. So I just remind you that the measurement of a large neutrino magnetic moment would be extremely important, since this would point to new physics. And actually, there have been several measurements using reactor neutrinos. And the present limit and 90% confidence limit level is 10 to the minus 10 Bohm magnetons. These direct measurements exploit the fact that the scattering of neutrinos on electrons in presence of a magnetic field presents an extra term, which dominates the cross sections when the electron recoil is very small. So the idea is to use the same trick and low energy beta beams. So we would produce the ions, send them inside the 4-pi detector, and look for the number of electron scattering as a function of electron recoil. And here I show you the number of such events as a function of electron energy. This is 1, and this is 10 keV. The star indicates the limit for a magnetic moment, the number of events if the neutrino magnetic moment is 5, 10 to the minus 11 Bohm magnetons. And here you have 10 to the minus 11. And the histograms is just a weak cross, the number of events obtained only with a weak term. So you can see that with the very intense neutrino beams and a very low threshold detector, we could, in principle, improve the present limit by about an order of magnitude. And now I come to the conclusions and perspectives. First, I showed you at the beginning that neutrino-nucleus interactions, it's a very exciting topic of great interest for different domains of physics, and there are many open issues that would be interesting to study in this field. To do this, it would be extremely helpful to have neutrino beams of variable energy, and this possibility could be offered by low energy beta beams. So this is a facility to produce neutrino beams, as I said, at low energy. And in the panorama, present panorama of planned or facility or facility under study, CERN really looks as a unique site, both for the energies and the intensities of the neutrinos that can be achieved. And this is not only the dream of a theoretician, but it can be really reality. And the feasibility study will be performed jointly to the high energy project within the EURISOL design study. And last week we heard great news, since the demand at the European community submitted last March has just been approved. And in particular, I want to conclude by saying that there is really a rich physics program that can be performed with low energy beta beam facilities. Here I presented you neutrino nucleus interaction rates and the neutrino magnetic moment, but there is much more to come, so keep an eye open. Thank you.
Questions? Yes.
I just want to make a comment. One is for low energy neutrino sources in the region of a couple of 10 MeV. I think 3 GeV intense proton accelerator, which is under construction at Tokai at JALPAC, that is of potential interest because it will provide, you know, through pion decay, neutrino beam with intensity around 10 to the 14 per second in the region of 10 to 20 mega electron volt. And another point is, I think for neutrino nuclear interactions, you know, quite important is the effect of giant resonance, you know, 1 plus and 2 minus and 3 minus giant resonances located around 10 or 30 MeV, which can very well also studied by using charge exchange nuclear reactions for giant resonance regions with an accuracy around maybe 10%, I think.
Yeah, what you say is correct. And this figure I showed you is exactly this. With these histograms, they show the contribution of the different giant resonances to the total cross-section. And just a comment from charge exchange reactions, actually, it's difficult, at least from the discussion I had with the people, to get information from for the higher multiples. This is why, but maybe this can be done in the future. Yeah, for some states, yes, that's a point, yeah.
Other questions, comments? If not, let's thank the speaker again.